Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Several weeks ago, if you recall, we heard about the Battle of Armageddon that never was. It didn't happen. There was no battle, actually. The forces of evil lined up for battle, but they didn't actually get the chance to fight, because God just came in and wiped them out for His church. We see the same thing pictured for us this evening in slightly different language. First, we encounter a rider on a white horse. This isn't our first encounter with the rider on a white horse. Way back toward the beginning of John's visions, he told us about the four riders on the four horses. One of them rode a white horse. He wore a Stephanus, a wreath crown on his head, showing that he would be victorious. We identified that rider as the Lord Jesus, who would spend the New Testament era riding out into the world through the preaching of His gospel and building His church. Now, at the end, we encounter Him again in this vision, and there can be no question that this rider on the white horse represents the Lord Jesus. The rider was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness He judges and makes war. Those same names, Faithful and True, had been applied to Jesus earlier in the book of Revelation. And His judgment, the fact that He is the one who will judge the earth, is well established in the New Testament scriptures. Now His faithfulness and His truth would be seen in making war against the forces of evil. It will be a just war, even as His judgment against His enemies is perfectly righteous and just. His eyes were like a flame of fire, just as Jesus had been described in an earlier vision. And on His head were many crowns. These are the diadem crowns, the crowns of the great emperors, and symbols of one's claim to divinity. He wears many of them because He has now spent the entire New Testament era expanding the empire of His church, and His gospel has conquered the whole world, bringing in the elect from every nation. He had a name written that no one knew except Himself. A name describes a person. And we're given many of those names or descriptive titles for the Lord Jesus in Scripture. But this one we aren't given to know. No one is given to know what this name is, because there are many things about the person of Jesus that we can't understand outside the Godhead. How He can be true God and true man in one person, for example. But we don't have to know everything about Him. We only have to know the things He has revealed in His Word, the names that are explained to us. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. This isn't His own blood. It's a reference to a prophecy about the Christ's final victory over His enemies recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 63. Why is your apparel red and your garments like one who treads in the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me, for I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robes. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. I looked, but there was no one to help, and I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore, my own arm brought salvation for me, and my own fury it sustained me. I have trodden down the peoples in my anger, made them drunk in my fury, and brought down their strength to the earth. Finally, that ancient prophecy from Isaiah will be fulfilled when Christ comes, the rider on the white horse. And His name is called the Word of God. There was one of those names given to the Lord Jesus that's been given to us in Scripture only by the Apostle John, first in his Gospel, then in his first epistle, and here in the book of Revelation. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed Him on white horses. This could be the angel armies, or it could be all believers in heaven and on earth, lined up behind Christ the King. I think that makes the most sense. Fine linen, white and clean, was earlier given to the bride of the Lamb, if you recall. And all the saints were wearing white robes in earlier visions. But in the end, the armies that line up behind Christ the King don't do any fighting. The rider on the white horse does it all himself. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Christ alone does the fighting with the sword that goes out of his mouth. His Word was the instrument of creation. It's the instrument by which God still upholds the universe now. It's the instrument with which God brings people from spiritual death to spiritual life, and with which He sustains the faithful and calls back the wanderers to repentance. And it will finally be the instrument by which God brings all His enemies to justice. Just as Paul says about the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians 2, that the Lord will consume him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him with the brightness of his coming. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Another name that we are given to know of the Lord Jesus. The rider on the white horse is the King of all kings and the Lord above all lords, the highest King, the highest Lord, who is King and Lord over everyone who is called King or Lord in the universe, whether human or angel or demon. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God. Usually when we hear in Scripture about God inviting someone to His supper, it's a good thing. It's a banquet of pleasant things laid out for the people whom God has invited into His house, into His kingdom. Even the Lord's Supper is one of those pleasant suppers of Scripture. But this one isn't. This supper is only for the birds. Not the swallows, but the birds of prey. The predators who eat the flesh of animals, except these birds will be treated to the flesh of people and horses, as the vision goes. It's a graphic and gory picture as God is about to destroy all of His enemies and offer their flesh to be eaten by the birds of prey. But the executions of Christian martyrs and the treatment of Christians at the hand of the anti-Christian government and anti-Christian church over the centuries has also been a graphic and at times gory thing. All the violence that men have done will be brought down on their own heads in the end. They get away with it now, but it won't be that way in the end. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. All God's enemies, the secular Antichrist and the ecclesiastical or the church Antichrist and their armies, are all gathered together to fight against God and against his army. This is no battle that would take place with guns or tanks or bombs, just as Christ really won't come back riding on a horse. These are all pictures of how God's enemies will be lined up against him and against his true church, determined to get rid of us once and for all. And I have to say, it seems like the world is already lining up for this battle. Between the secularists who openly deny God and want society to move on from religion entirely, and those, on the other hand, who still profess to believe in God but promote a false version of Him with different standards of right and wrong and with a different way of being saved than through faith alone in Christ Jesus. Most of the world is already gathering for this battle. But there will be no actual battle. After all, God's enemies are gathered together against him and his army. What happens? Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. When the world is finally ready to be done with the Lord and with his people, the last day will come upon them like a thief. The rider on the white horse will come in to save the day. The Lord Jesus will come with his holy angels, and with a word he'll raise the dead. The sleeping saints will be reunited with their bodies and gathered to the Lord. Then the living saints will be perfected and gathered to the Lord and to them. And the Lord himself will fight for us with a word. He'll bring destruction down on all our enemies and send them to eternal punishment in the lake of fire and brimstone, otherwise known as hell. And so, once again, as we walk through the book of Revelation, we're confronted with the main message of the book. The world will line up against Christ and against his true church. Injustice will prevail on the earth for a time. And it will look like the true church can't possibly survive. But be faithful until the end. Don't lose hope. Don't lose heart. Because in the end, the Lord comes and we win. And Jesus will come riding in on that famous white horse to save the day. And we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.